Luke chapter number 8 is where you need to be in your Bibles. If you're not there already, you'll want to turn there, Luke chapter number 8. And we've been going through the book of Luke in our Sunday morning services, and we have been looking at the different events that happened in the life of our Lord Jesus and His ministry, and we've been applying them to us and trying to gain from the things that God's Word gives us, and obviously it's there for a reason. Well, Luke chapter number 8 is where we are. Verse number 22 is where we want to begin with the reading for our text this morning. Luke chapter number 8, and beginning with verse number 22, and we'll read down through verse 25. And notice what the Word of God tells us there. It says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him." Now, last week in the services that I was not able to be a part of because we were gone on vacation, I know that the two messages worked together and had, if not the same passage of Scripture, I believe they were from Mark chapter number 4, if I remember right. And it was the same general idea, the same basic happenings here in Jesus' ministry, and it just so happened that this week, of course, for our message time as we go through the book of Luke, we just happen to be right here in Luke chapter number 8. I believe that God has a message for us as a church that we ought to heed. God wants us to hear some things and wants us to understand some truths from these passages of Scripture. But the disciples here are following the Lord Jesus. Obviously, they're listening to Him, they're learning from Him, they're ministering with Him. And the Bible tells us that there came a day when Jesus decided that it was time for them to go from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other side. And of course, the Sea of Galilee is really a very large inland sea. We might call it a large lake here in the upper Midwest, but it's an inland sea. And it would be very often prone to great storms. Storms would come up very quickly on that lake, and they could be very treacherous. And of course, these men were in a small boat, and yet Jesus had told them to go into the other side, so they did. And in the middle of that trip from one side of the sea to the other, the wind came up, the storm rose up, and it looked like they were going to all perish. The Bible says that they were in jeopardy. In other words, their lives hung in the balance. The title of the message this morning is Jeopardy. And I thought about calling myself Alex Trebek, but I decided not to. I thought about, you know, maybe shaving everything except the mustache. That might be good. Or having Brother Eric preach it. He could fit as an Alex Trebek. That might be good. But I decided not to. Maybe include some answers and you give me the question. That might be a good idea. We're not going to have a message that's a big joke. I really do want to speak to you about being in jeopardy. Not the game show, but the situation in life. And again, the title of the message is Jeopardy. We want to talk about these things, and I want to show you three parts of the story here that I believe are important and will help us to appreciate the situation that they were in. Let's pray first, and then we'll get into that. Dear Lord, it is a blessing, as always, to be with your people. Lord, it's a blessing to be able to have a beautiful day, a nice piece of property to be able to meet on, and Lord, to be able to be outside and enjoy the outdoors and fresh air and those things. Thank you for our health. Lord, we thank you that you've kept us alive. You've spared us from the different things that are all around us, whether it be COVID-19 or the myriad of other things that are around us. We thank you that your protection has been with us, and we ask for it in the future. But Lord, we come before you in this service and we want to worship you, and we know that a big part of worshiping you is hearing your word and obeying your word. You said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Lord, we want to keep your word. So would you help us this morning to be able to hear your voice as you speak to us through your word? Would you help us to make application and be able to see times in our life when we either are in jeopardy or feel like we are in jeopardy? Lord, would you help us to be able to overcome our fear and see it replaced with faith? We ask that you would help us. We thank you that you will. Lord, give us ears to hear. There are a lot of distractions. We pray, Lord, that you would help those even to be minimized with the airplanes going over and the helicopters and different things like that. Lord, would you help us to be able to just focus and hear your voice in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I mentioned here, the disciples are in jeopardy and their lives are hanging in the balance, and they cry out to Jesus for help and they say, "Master, we perish." And of course, he wakes up, he calms the wind and calms the sea, and the storm ceases, and they are amazed. The Bible says that they're actually afraid, and he asks them a simple question, "Where is your faith?" So let's look at those parts of this story and apply them to ourselves. First of all, the first part of this narrative here is that there was a clear plan. There was a very clear plan. Notice what the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 22, where it says, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake." So what we see there is that Jesus had a very clear plan. They were on one side of the lake, and he wanted them to get to the other side of the lake. He had a plan in mind. Now, notice that he didn't tell them, as far as we can understand, why they were to go to the other side of the lake. When we read further, we know that the reason is because there was a man there who had a legion of devils that needed to be freed from those devils. And Jesus wanted to give the people there an opportunity to see who he was and receive him as the Messiah. Now, it's a mission that's not going to end the way we would have liked it to, as far as they basically kick him out of the area there. But regardless, he had a plan. And his purpose was going to be fulfilled in that plan. And so he said to them, "Let's go to the other side." I would put it this way. I put it this way in my notes. He had commanded their passage. And because he had commanded their passage from one side of the lake to the other, he would provide and would protect. Now, we have the opportunity to see the entire story from end to beginning. God gave us his word. But the disciples couldn't see all that was going to happen. All they knew is he said, "Let's go to the other side," and now there's a storm. We know they didn't need to be afraid. Jesus was with them, the Son of the living God, the one who created the water, the one who created the wind. He's in control of all these things. They did not need to fear, but they did. He had commanded the passage, and because of that, he would provide and protect. Let me make an application to you and me today. He has commanded our passage. We also are on a journey. By the way, I hate that word journey. It's overused nowadays. Tell me about your journey is something that every interviewer likes to say to everybody. And after a while, I just want to puke every time I hear it. But it's still truth, isn't it? We're on a journey. We're here in this life. This world is not our home. We're heading to our home, which is heaven, and we're here for a purpose. God has a plan, and he has commanded our passage. Don't you wish that when you got saved, it would have been an instantaneous rapture and you would have been taken to heaven? I wish that. Now, I know God has a plan. I know that God wants to use us and all those things, but I'm selfish. I'd really love to be in heaven. I'm a little envious of Linda Hicks today. She's with the Lord. She's enjoying the rewards of her labor. She's enjoying a liberation from the body of sin that kept her down for so many years. And I'm thankful that she gets to enjoy that today. But here we are today. We're still in this world of sin. And the reason we're here is because God has ordained it that we would be here. He has commanded our passage through this world. And one of the beautiful things about what we're going through is that we have an easier time seeing, don't we, that this world is not our home. Recent events have proven to us that, listen, we don't belong here. Our thinking is different than this world. They value the things that God says are wicked and an abomination. They praise the things that God hates and detests. And I don't know about you, but I feel very out of place in this world today. But nonetheless, God has commanded my passage. Now listen, because of that, I need to understand that He will provide and protect. Let me show you some verses that will encourage you. I hope you want to keep your place in Luke, but let's turn over to the book of John, John chapter number 14. And we'll look at verses 1 to 3, and then we'll skip down to verse 15. So John 14, verses 1 to 3. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And I'm sorry, I'm in Luke, aren't I? How come nobody said anything? You're just waiting for me to figure it out. All right, John chapter 14, there we go. We'll get to the right book. Here we go, John 14. I know some of you just were disappointed. You found out your pastor was or is fallible. And we'll have counseling sessions after the service since you just found that out. All right, John 14, 1. Here we go. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. There's a promise of a day coming when Jesus will come again and receive us unto himself and will dwell with him forever. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day. I hope it's today. But skip down to verse 15. Here's what Jesus said later on in the same chapter. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Notice this. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Can you see a similarity between our situation and the situation of the disciples? Jesus had said to them, you need to go to the other side of the lake. And then he climbed in the boat with them. He commanded their passage and then joined them in the passage. Jesus has done the same for you. He said, I'm leaving. He says that in the earlier part of John, right? I'm leaving and you're going to have to stay here for a while. I'll come back for you, but you're going to have to stay here. And I have a job for you to do. Later on in John 20, verse 21, he says, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And then along those same lines, he says, listen, I'm leaving, but yet I'm going to be with you. I'm going to send you another comforter. That's the Spirit of God. He's called the Comforter. And he says it another way in those verses we just read. He said, I will come to you. In other words, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Jesus. So he said to us, you have to go to the other side. And by the way, I'm climbing in the boat with you. And he's here with us today in the midst of COVID-19, in the midst of all that we're facing now, in the midst of our nation having great turmoil, and those who are Marxist and communist and all the rest seeming to gain a voice that they didn't used to have. And sometimes the things that we don't like are being allowed to happen, and things that detest or that God detests or things that God despises are being lifted up. Listen, Jesus said, I'm in the boat with you. Skip down to verse 23. Notice what else Jesus said. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now notice verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, the peace that the world gives is a peace that leaves when the storm comes. The peace that the world gives is as long as everything's working my way. As long as politically the landscape looks good, as long as the health of our nation and all of that is not threatening any of us, as long as our bank accounts and our retirement accounts are doing well, then we have peace. Jesus' peace is different. When all those things are falling apart, when everything is going against us, Jesus has left us peace because he's with us. He's commanded our passage and he jumped in the boat with us. I'm thankful that he will guide and protect. Look with me at John 16 and verse 1. Notice verse 1, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be," and what's that last word? Say it with me, "offended." You know this already. I've shared it with you lots of times. But please remember, the word "offended" does not mean hurt feelings. He means this. It means I will not, or when I'm not offended, it means I won't stumble in the way. It's very closely related to the word "stumbling block." So he said, "I've said these things to you so you won't stumble and fall, so you won't quit in the way, so that when you're in the boat and you're passing the lake and you're in the middle of the passage and the clouds come up and it looks dark and it looks bleak and you feel like you're in jeopardy, I want you to remember, don't quit because I'm with you." And then John 16, 33, "These things I have spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And those words are still true today. We should have peace because Jesus has overcome the world. Listen, we've seen in Luke 8, and you can turn back there, that there was a clear plan. They needed to get to the other side. Let me show you the second point or second part of this story that's important, and that is that there was a major obstacle. A major obstacle. Look with me again at Luke 8, verse 23. "But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy." Can you picture that? They're in the boat. A major storm of wind comes, and the waves begin to beat, and they get very high, so high that they're lapping over the sides of the boat. The boat begins to fill with water. This is not a good situation. It doesn't matter how much water there is in the lake as long as it's not inside the boat. You'll be fine as long as it's on the outside of the boat. But it begins to come in the boat. That's a problem. There was a major obstacle to their passing. Jesus had commanded the passing, but then an obstacle came. Wait a minute. If Jesus commanded it, shouldn't it be smooth sailing? Well, you and I would think so, but we're not God, are we? God has decided that it would be much the other way many times in life. And the same thing for us. We have been commanded to pass, and yet many times we face very big obstacles. This obstacle that they faced was so big, the Bible actually says they were in jeopardy. It's not that they thought they were in jeopardy. The Bible says they were in jeopardy. The water is coming in. It's a big deal. The reality was they were in jeopardy. You know, sometimes it's that way for us. You see, it was so bad for them. Notice what they said in Luke 8 and verse 24. "And they came to him," by the way, he's sleeping, right? "And awoke him, saying, Master, Master," say those next two words with me, "we perish." What they're saying is, we are in the middle of the process of losing our lives. We perish. They weren't saying, "Master, things aren't looking good." They weren't saying, "Master, you might want to pay attention to this." They were saying, "We are in the middle of the process of dying. We perish. It's happening right now. Things are getting bad enough that if something doesn't change, this is just the middle of a process where we're going to lose our lives." It was bad. They were in jeopardy. And what did Jesus do? He slept while they were in jeopardy. It looked to them like he didn't even care. Have you ever been in a situation like that? You see, but what Jesus did eventually, as we read in verse 24, "Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He spoke up, and he removed the obstacle." So if he was able to remove the obstacle, were they ever really in jeopardy? Now, the Bible says they were, so we got to trust the Word of God. But were they ever really perishing? No, that was their statement. God's statement is they were in jeopardy. Their statement was, "We perish." God's word was right. They were in jeopardy, but they weren't perishing. And you know, the same thing is true for you and me. we often are in jeopardy in this world. And we might even think, Lord, we perish. This isn't going well. Lord, we're in the process of perishing. But the truth of the matter is, we're not perishing, we're just in jeopardy. And God's okay with jeopardy. Because he understands what's going to happen. There's going to come a time when he will calm the storm. And I don't know exactly how he'll do that. I don't know if things will really turn around. I don't know if maybe we'll see a revival and a great awakening in our country. I pray that we do. I'm praying for that. I'm asking God for it. I'm asking God for the situation that we're in to turn around and for things to get back to what used to be normal and all of those things. I'm asking God for that. But I don't know what his plan is. But I know we may be in jeopardy, but we're not perishing. You see, the things that we hold dear these days are disappearing, aren't they? You look around, I've not been alive that long. But I remember my parents saying things like, you know, the country's not nearly what it was when I was a kid. And now I look for my children in the future and I just think, man, I don't know what kind of nation they'll have when they're my age. I really don't know, and it fills me with sadness. But again, God's okay with jeopardy. He's not going to allow me to perish because of this. I'm not saying I won't lose my life. I might lose my life. You might too. But you know what? It's okay. Nothing evil will God allow happen to me, nor you. Even if we lose our physical life, we'll be in heaven. God is good to us. Listen, the tide is turning against us politically in this world and just religiously in this world. It's turning against us. You can sense this. Think about this now. Think about all that has happened recently and all the changes that have gone on in our world, all because of a health crisis. Now think about that for just a minute. Think about how much has drastically changed because of a health thing. Now think about this for just a minute. Dane County recently just stated, in their opinion, that racism is a public health crisis. Now think about that. If they can change all that they've changed for a health crisis of COVID-19, what can they do if they call racism a health crisis? They can do all kinds of things in the name of a health crisis to try to make race relations better. But what happens when they begin to say bigotry of any kind against somebody who maybe is of a different persuasion? What if they begin to say that bigotry is a health crisis? What could they shut down because of a quote-unquote health crisis? Think about that for just a minute. And remember that the next time you call your representatives. And remember next time that you're talking to them, remind them to follow the Constitution. But can I also tell you this? That we should not be filled with fear. We should not be filled with panic. We should not look to our elected officials to try to rescue us from this situation that we're in. And we should not look to our voting privileges as this is what's going to rescue us. Listen, our hope is still in the Lord in all these things. Do not be downhearted. Do not be like the disciples, where even though we see these things, and boy, I see the writing on the wall in many of these things, and yet, listen, I have a job to do, and so do you. Jesus has still commanded our passage to the other side, and we're still to serve him while we're here. Even if things turn against us, even if things politically go against us, we still have a job to do. We can't quit just because things go against us. He's commanded our passage. Let me share with you the third part of this story or this narrative that's important. You see, because Jesus did calm the waves, there is coming a time when Jesus will calm our storm as well. And in the meantime, the third part of the story is Jesus included a searing question. So there was a clear plan, a major obstacle, and then a searing question. After he calmed the storm, here's what he said. Verse 25, and he said unto them, where is your faith? Now, friends, the question was, where is your faith? You see, they had not exemplified faith. If they would have exemplified faith, they still would have woken Jesus up, but they would not have been panicked. But the question that Jesus asked them implied that although they had faith, they simply were not illustrating faith. I bring all that out to say when Jesus said, "Where is your faith?" He didn't say, "How come you don't have any faith?" He said, "Where is it?" That implies that they had some, or at least had access to faith. The faith was there. Jesus was saying, "Where is it?" And friends, I believe Jesus would ask this of us today as well, that our faith may be hidden, and Jesus may ask us, "Listen, where is your faith? You have faith. Where is it? You have access to faith. You have no reason to panic. There's no reason for you to get upset and be full of fear and worry and strife and all the rest. Where is your faith?" Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. This is the last scripture that we will look at here this morning, Lord willing. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, a simple verse that many of you have memorized. Romans 10 and verse 17, the Bible tells us there, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Many of you know that verse. Let's say it together. Ready? Here we go. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now think about that. Faith comes by hearing. Now that hearing is not just sound waves going into the ear. That's the type of hearing as in I'm listening with an intent to absorb what's being said and to act on it. It's that kind of hearing. You know the difference, parents. If you have teenagers, you know the difference. There's hearing and then there's hearing. Jesus is talking about the kind of hearing where I'm really listening. It's going into my heart. It's affecting me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This book is the source of our faith, and reading it alone will not do it. There's nothing magical about reading God's word. It's not like if you read it by osmosis, suddenly faith comes. It's reading it and hearing it with an intent to believe what it says. And you see, what we're lacking today in our lives as Christians is faith. And Jesus would say to us, "Where is your faith?" So as we close, let me ask you a couple of questions. Have you been in a state of panic lately? Is there ever a time when watching the news, by the way, watch less news, but has there been a time when watching the news, you begin to get filled with this feeling of panic? Have you been struggling with a desire to lash out at others who don't believe the same way you do? By the way, don't lash out at others. Have you at times been overwhelmed with a feeling of hopelessness? All of those are signs of what Jesus would ask us, "Where is your faith?" Because you see, although I see the reality around me, when I'm full of faith, when I read God's word with an intent to believe it and I receive it and I grab a hold of what God says, the panic goes away. And you're looking at somebody who at times has had that feeling of panic come across me, and I have to get into God's word again and remember what God has said and stand upon his word, and it gives me faith instead of panic. You're looking at someone who comes up with all kinds of zingers to say to different people. I know you're not like me in that way. You think only good thoughts. But when I get back into God's word, he reminds me that I can trust him and to leave all those things to him and to trust in him, and God will help me, and there's faith that comes. You're looking at somebody who has dealt with from time to time an overwhelming feel of hopelessness, and yet the word of God gives me faith again. Let me encourage you to get into God's word and get your faith from God's word, because he's commanded our passage and he will provide and protect. Our job is just to serve him in humility and godly fear. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Dear Lord, I thank you that we have it, that it inspires in us faith. Dear Lord, forgive us for our hopelessness, our panic, our anger. And Lord, would you replace it with the fruit of the Spirit? Holy Spirit of God, we submit ourselves to you. Thank you, Lord, that you've not left us alone. Would you guide and direct now in this invitation in Jesus' name? Amen.